Welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Today we are live. We're going to talk about addiction, not only the opioid addictions, a problem we're having in this country, but also going into this holiday season, how addiction can impact how we view spending, pleasure, food, other areas of our life. And we've got an expert here to help us do that, our friend and contributor for Intentional Living Center, Dr. Greg Jantz, joins me here live today. We open our phone lines to you as well. 64,000, circle that number, 64,000 people. That's a giant football stadium size numbers, right? 64,000 people died in the United States in 2016 from an overdose. Addiction, and it's rampant in this country. As you look at the graph, I have one in front of me dating back to 2000 to today, and it just, in about 2012, 2013, it's just like it's an airplane taking off, going straight up. These numbers are staggering. And of course, there's the sort of the quieter issues of lack of control or addiction in areas of gambling, sex, other areas in life. And we want to take a very positive, helpful view of this today. And so we thought no one better to help us do this than the founder of The Center, A Place of Hope in Seattle, a contributor to Intentional Living, Dr. Greg Jantz. And this gentleman is experienced. He has a whole team of like 40 world-class licensed board-certified professionals providing treatment for those suffering from all sorts of issues of anxiety, drug and alcohol addiction, and depression. And this place, the center, was just recognized among the top 10 facilities in the United States for treatment of depression. And Greg tells me he just recently returned from Washington, where he was invited to the White House to be one of several talking about some of the challenges in this country with depression and the drug addiction issue and so on. So we have an expert here with us today, and we want to get into some really practical things to help us sort through this. Greg, welcome to Intentional Living again today. Appreciate it, my friend.
Oh, it is always good to be with you. Thank you.
Appreciate what you're doing. You're helping a lot of people at your facility. Let's start on this thing of addiction. Can you give us a working definition of what is addiction?
You know, addiction is a word that sometimes is confusing, and we'll use it loosely. You know, we'll say, well, you know, you ate all that pie for Thanksgiving. Are you addicted?
Yeah.
And, you know, addiction usually happens to us slowly and gradually. It's subtle. But it comes in many different forms. And really, ultimately, addiction gathers that stronghold in our life or that power where it's as though it takes over us. We will do anything to satisfy that addiction or addictions. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to understand for some if you'd say, well, why don't you just stop taking those pills? Why don't you just stop drinking? But the power of addiction in our life, from a physical or physiological point of view, could be very, very powerful, and cravings can be intense. And so when we look at addiction, we've got to look at it from a whole person lens. And what I mean by that is there's a spiritual side. Sometimes we don't feel loved, and we turn to something to change our mood. Sometimes we had a surgery and we were given pain pills, and before we know it, we just keep wanting more of those pain pills, and we've got an addiction to a pain pill. So it comes to us in different ways, but a solution always has to be looking at the whole person.
Well, when we think about addiction, we see it, you know, like the opioid addiction, we see the numbers, we see the staggering results, we've seen the pictures. And I know in your place, a service, you find people that you're ministering to and helping, their lives have been altered. But is there such a thing as I hate to use the word low grade, but do people wrestle with this addiction and just, it could be in other areas that are not going to, quote, kill them, but they are certainly damaging their lives, especially during a season like this with food, sex, pleasure, other areas?
Yes, and those are, you know, they're sometimes called a soft addiction, or sometimes they'll be called a process addiction. And these are the things like food. It's the person that has the secret eating where they're, you know, hiding food around the house or doing it secretly. And really, ultimately, it it is an addiction because you're hiding it. There's embarrassment, there's shame, and you're going to always make sure you've got enough that secret food in store to order to satisfy you. Gambling could be one. A person that ends up gambling, and again, we try to keep these things secret. Like any addiction, we also try to justify it. Go, well, you know, I can stop at any time, or you know what, this sex addiction or this pornography that I do several hours a day really isn't hurting anyone. And so we drop into denial. So we rationalize, we deny, but it comes in many different forms. I think, too, a person could have just an online type of addiction where, yeah, you know, they're addicted to social media.
Well, we're seeing that, aren't we?
Yes, and I was just working with somebody that, for example, she would sleep with her cell phone under her pillow every night, and throughout the night, you know, there was texting and activity going on, and I said, "Why do you sleep with your cell phone?" And she said, "I can't miss out." Yeah. And so some people are so addicted to trying to be connected that they really are disconnected.
When you have people come to you in your center and the work that you do, Greg, with your team, how would you, I mean, there's a range from the opioid addiction to this, you know, I'm addicted to my cell phone. Where do you begin in the, where does a person begin in the process to say, I'm sick of this, I want to be intentional, my good intentions aren't going to last, I know it's a form of neglect, it's kind of a slow road to a steep cliff, and I need to make some changes in my life. Where do they begin? What are things that people can do today that could help them start to be experience some freedom in their life?
You know, one of the most difficult, and that is such a good question, is to do an honest appraisal. And it's really, what am I doing in secret? And it's really being honest first with yourself. You know, it's that secret drinking that you've had going on for quite some time, or those extra pills you've been taking, and you've been doing it for a long time, but you haven't really been honest with yourself because this is a problem. So that's the first step. I got to be honest. This is out of control. I've got to do something about this because if I don't, in 6 months or a year, where is this taking me? You know, addictions get that stronghold, and they take us to a path of self-destruction, which, as we know, can lead us to death. And so we're seeing, as you know, with the opiates, the pain pill crisis, more deaths than ever before. And it's an addiction. So that's the first step. And probably the next question to ask yourself is, well, what need is this meeting? What is it that this is doing for me? And that's a good question to ask. When somebody comes to us for help, we never, ever, like, look at them and go, you know, why are you doing this? And it's not about judgment. It's about, this is serving a purpose, and this has entered into your life for a reason. Let's deal with some of those, even, if you will, deeper core issues. What is this doing for you? Have you been greatly hurt or injured in a relationship, and you've turned to alcohol secretly as a place to bring comfort in your life, or to, we call it mood alter. I want to change how I feel.
What do you do?
A lot of different reasons.
Now, Greg, what do you do with a person, or what do people do who are listening today, and they recognize they got a problem? They're challenged, but they want to take the self-help approach as opposed to seeking out help. Where's the line where a person needs to say, hey, all right, this has gone beyond just healthy and I'm getting by and I need to get help?
Well, and that's really so important to understand. If I'm going to fully recover from this and live a life that's really beyond being addicted or having addictions, I probably need some accountability in my life. I need somebody to give me honest feedback. Those times that it's so intense and I just feel like falling off the wagon, or, you know, again, or I'm telling myself, you know, just one more time is all right. And we begin to rationalize. You know, you've got to have somebody and help in your life that can pull you back and speak truth to you. So So we do need that accountability. There's times where, you know what, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to get the accountability. Maybe I'm going to join a good support group, and I'm going to do this. And there's other times where there's maybe medical complications where my body needs to be detoxed and it needs to be done differently. Maybe my addiction's food, mm-hmm. and I've got to figure out how maybe I've been addicted to sugar, and it's got a lot of power in my life, and I need some help with that. So we need to look at, again, the whole person. And what's the spiritual side to being addicted? You know, it takes us to a spiritual bankruptcy, so to speak, in that the more we get engaged in our addiction, and it sounds funny, but we get really intimate with our addiction. We're having that intimacy. We channel all of our feelings through our addiction. Recently had a lady tell me, she says, you know, I'd rather be intimate with food than people. It's a lot easier.
Wow. That's a picture, isn't it? And I think a lot of people listening today can relate. Let's go to a phone caller. We've got Patrick on the line who wants to join in the discussion. By the way, this is Intentional Living. Dr. Greg Jantz is my guest. He's the founder of The Center, A Place of Hope in Seattle. And we're talking about addiction today. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Hello, Randy. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
Well, it's not really a question. It's more of a concern. I actually just left my doctor's office when I heard your upcoming program, and I'm a pain management patient. I'm 51. I've been sick since I was a kid with multiple autoimmune diseases, psoriatic arthritis, degenerative disease, what have you. But I routinely am treated like an addict when I go to either the doctors or the pharmaceutical companies, and that's not the case. And my concern is, I think in our government's not being fully honest with us on some of these overdoses. I think that perhaps fentanyl and heroin. My question or concern is, people like me who are legitimate sufferers that need these oral modalities of opiates, what will happen to us? Are we going to fall through the cracks? Are we going to be treated like we're second-rate citizens? Because I'm not an addict. I'm a father of four and a grandfather, but I have multiple pain issues, and this is just where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned what's going to moving forward. And
that's
a good, list of things.
Good question, Patrick. Yeah,
this is a very real for people that have, there's legitimate, real pain, and they've got to be dealt with. And so that's an area where, okay, it's not the typical, if you will, addiction. And so that's got to be dealt with. This is why right now for pharmaceuticals, you know, the real race is on to release a non-narcotic pain pill that is more pointed to the area of the pain for a person. And I think we're going to see some changes coming very soon. There are some new medications that are, you know, in the process, and hopefully we'll be receiving FDA approval that are non-narcotic. So we're all, I think those in the addiction field, we're all looking at what are some better options as well. But your situation represents many who, you know, I need something, and I need help with this, mm-hmm. and I don't want to be treated in the same category is what I hear you saying.
Yeah, and I think what I hear Patrick saying as well, Greg, is that there's a stigma attached to a person who, you know, they've gone in for treatment, normal treatment, pain, whatever, and all of a sudden they are, quote, addicted, and they're thinking, wow, now I'm one of those, you know, in their minds, and yet I'm getting treatment, yet the body doesn't know the difference. You get addicted to these substances, you need help sometimes, and through the process. And what I hear you saying is, Greg, is the pharmaceuticals companies are trying to become more specific in the kinds of treatments that they're creating, which will, you know, obviously would be more helpful. Has been your experience in the work that you do, Greg, that there's been over-treatment, though? There's been too much of this? What's been your take as you look at the medical profession and the treatment with pain management?
Well, I think the general understanding, and one of the things that was talked about at my recent mental health briefing at the White House is we have too many physicians who perhaps it's been inadvertently, but who have ended up prescribing, and then there's a dependency. There's a certain person that becomes dependent and others don't. And so this is where we need better ways of figuring out how to manage the pain. And opiate medication is kind of a general, all-encompassing. This is why they're working on non-narcotic medications that are going to pinpoint the place and the source of the pain. And so it's a whole different model of treating. One of the things that's happening in our healthcare is they call it medicine by emoji. So doctors who don't give out the pills get really poor ratings. They get the smiley faces that are not smiling, and doctors get rated. And those that are easier to get medications from, there's a lot of smiley faces. So you know we've got something going on here that's got to be addressed.
Very interesting. Hang on for a minute, Greg. We're going to take a break, come back. Dr. Greg Jantz is my guest today. He's one of our contributors here at the Intentional Living Center. He's the founder, the head guy, the chief honcho, if you please, of the center, A Place of Hope in Seattle, where they have 40 professional, licensed, board-certified professionals providing treatment for people with eating disorders, depression, anxiety, drug, alcohol addictions, and so on. And the center was recently recognized, congratulations, as being one of the top 10 facilities in the U.S. for treatment of depression. Dr. Jantz is joining me. When we come back, Greg, let's talk about some of the holiday threats to overeating, or how, if we have an addiction with eating, or it could be sex, it could be gambling, it could be the kinds of things that seem to get exacerbated during the holidays for some people. What are some practical steps if you wrestle with that in your life? I will come back to that in a moment. This is the Intentional Living Center, helping you be intentional, because at the end of the day, you know, we want to live a life with no or at least less regrets, resulting in bringing more freedom and peace and joy and purpose to your family, to yourself, and certainly glory to God. That's what Intentional Living is all about.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Do you feel stress instead of joy during Christmas? How do you fix it?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
What if your own expectations of perfectionism are what's doing you in? How do you stop the adrenaline rush and get back to the real reason for the season? Start with an intentional focus on making memories and blessing people. Late night car ride with the kids to look at Christmas lights, or Christmas movie night with popcorn and hot chocolate. This is your life, and you get to choose what makes it special. Whatever you do, focus on being rather than doing. Your peaceful spirit and joy will bless your family more than everything else being perfect. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, that's a recorded piece that Greg does for us as a ministry, part of our Intentional Living Minute, broadcast around the world online and on stations across the country. And Greg is with me today, Dr. Greg Jantz, the founder of the Center, A Place of Hope, and a contributor for the Intentional Living Center. We're talking about addiction. And Greg, during this season, you know, here we are at the Christmas season, we got other issues of addiction, food, video games. Could be some people are caught up in shopping and spending, and they may not even see it as being an addictive process in their life that's really taking over their life. They may not even define it that way, and it may not even be technically defined that way, but they stop from time to time with their reality check and say, that is an issue in my life. It's a problem. What are steps that people can do to put balance back in their life? Christians, especially, how can we put balance in our life and honor Christ intentionally during this season?
You know, one of the things that we need to recognize is sometimes this can be a stressful time of the season. You may feel some pressure, maybe it's from family or feel like I have to be with certain family. Maybe there's been some history where some challenges have been there or some really tough things. And so you're already thinking about, I do not want to go through this or I don't want to be with these people. And there's the intensity of that way beforehand. And so you may find yourself wanting to kind of escape now. Mm-hmm. And so make a decision today and make a decision with yourself that I will not do anything that will be self-destructive to me because of the holidays. Let's change that. So self-destructive would mean overspending or overusing anything, you know, over drinking, overeating. So now I'm going to decide, you know, everybody goes on New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year. My resolution is now, before a new year, and my resolution is I'm going to discontinue doing things that are self-destructive to me as a result of other people. I'm not going to use that to cope with. And so I need to replace that with some positives. One of the things I need to look at is my self-care. People tend to, you know, overuse and overdrink and overeat and sleep less and then overspend. And then we feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's as simple as deciding way ahead of time that I'm not going to give in to the peer pressure of overspending and mapping out a plan, but begin to look now. Now's the time that I can take good care of myself and make good decisions. And then thirdly, wow, what's you know, back to what's the reason for the season? What am I celebrating here? Am I so full of stress that the joy is gone? So I'm going to regain a fresh perspective. And really, honestly, that means going back to the reason that we are celebrating Christmas. There's a lot of things we can focus on that are really negative and some tough things. I get that. But pick a couple of verses this season that you're going to carry with you. Write them down on a 3x5 card. Carry the truth with you. One that I just gave to somebody is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Okay, I'm just going to carry that as I can do all things. I can make it through this season successfully. And I'm going to add, and with a new joy.
You know, we do live in such a hectic time. And, you know, this idea of being mindful of this moment, when the scripture says, you mentioned Philippians 4:8, where it says, whatever things are true and right and admirable, praiseworthy, and of good report, think on such things, that we put our minds on the fact that we're going to take control. You know, our computers have default settings. You hit a button and it automatically defaults to a certain place. And I think our lives have default settings, and sometimes the default setting takes you into overeating or over this or over that, and it takes over your life. But be mindful of that moment to say, I choose not to by default to slip into these patterns, but I'm going to be intentional in doing the next right one thing. I'm going to be focused in what I do. And to do that, you got to be mindful. You've got to take sometimes that deep breath and take control at that moment in your life, because if you don't, you're going to fall to that default setting in your life, and that may not be the healthiest place. Now, if you have healthy defaults, that's wonderful. Ultimately, that's what intentional living is about, getting your default settings to take you to a healthy place and not to the unhealthy places in life. This has been fun, Greg, but we've been out of time. I'd love to have you come on back. We got to do this again someday here soon, I think, to really continue to help people. If you all have a question for us or a comment on this topic, we'd love to have you call 888-888-1717 and leave it with us. And Greg, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate what you're doing.
It's always good to be a part of the intentional living, and Randy, and what you're doing, because lives can be changed when we take that minute to really, really, truly be intentional. We can do that now for the holidays.
Indeed. Thank you. And I hope you have a great, great Christmas season, Greg. God bless you.
Thank you.
If you just joined us, Dr. Greg Jantz has been my guest. He's one of our contributors here at the Intentional Living Center. He's the founder of The Center, a place of hope in Seattle, heard around the country with a lot of radio, TV interviews, and they have 40 people on staff today helping people who are suffering with eating disorders or depression or anxiety, and he's we're fortunate to have him as a contributor for the Intentional Living Center. And talking about addiction today, at the end of the day, remember, God is a God of freedom, And if you're wrestling with areas of your life, seek help. Someone in your community who can help you, someone who loves God, someone who can help you through the process. But there is freedom. And when we see these staggering numbers today, I know sometimes it's hard to find the help, but seek it today. That's where I thought about the fact that we judge on expectations, God judges on intention. And it's something we need to look at on a regular basis. You know, this is the point, I think, in life when people reject God. How many people do you know who have rejected God because God doesn't make any sense? How could He take my baby? How could He let that car accident occur? How can we have poverty in parts of the world today? And people use that as an opportunity to say, God makes no sense, I'm rejecting the whole thing. And many of us question it too. People, I know people, and you do too, who have come along and they, as the scripture says, the seed went down into kind of hard soil or it didn't take root, and then those tough times come, and because of the heat of the moment or the problems that are faced, they reject it and they walk away from the faith. And it's a lot of times when God makes no sense, that's the time that we're going to bail out. It's not when things are going well. So what do you do when life makes no sense? You stay intentional, you be intentional in your life. That's the teaching this month for members. You probably have it already for this month. If you're not a member, wow, I hope you'll join us even before the end of this year, because we'll get this to you. Plus, you're going to start a Living on Purpose in 2019 teaching every month for members only. Just go to theintentionallife.com. While you're there, by the way, we have some friends of the ministry right now who have said, listen, we want to close out 2018 strong for intentional living and for our Minute Radio ministry, and they're going to match every gift to the ministry dollar for dollar up to $100,000. That means when you give $50, they're going to give another $50, and it's $100. If you give $500, they're going to give $500. It's $1,000. You give $1,000, it'll become $2,000. It really makes a big difference. And we need your help. We got a big nut to crack between now and the 31st. Really would appreciate your help. I know many of you have already helped us with our year-end share-a-thon and have been so faithful. Thank you. Pray for us. Pray that in these next days we can close this strong. Just go to theintentionallife.com to get that gift matched right now for intentional living. Theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call 888-888-1717 and press number 4. Okay. All right, we'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.